This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Kia ora te whanau, welcome to the AA Live radio show. It is lovely to have you here with us, and it's Boxing Day. Oh my gosh, I'm amazed that I even managed to get in here, not because I was hungover, because as you know, I don't drink anymore, but just, I just wanted to lie around in my pyjamas all day. Welcome, my wonderful co-host. And I imagine that you've left your mother sitting somewhere dangling her feet in the water.
I think she's happy about that.
Yeah, yeah. At least it's not snow, as we were discussing.
That's right. That's right. There's something nice about that, though, on Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
The old white Christmas thing. I do quite like that.
Is that because of, like, the fires roasting the chestnuts?
I think it's a childhood thing for me. You know, that's what I always associate with Christmas, is cold and winter, you know? I still find it weird. I've been here, I think, 19 years now, and I still find it weird in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think that's understandable.
I just don't associate summer with Christmas time.
We're a bit weird, aren't we? Running around in no shoes, not budgie smugglers. Let's not go the budgie smugglers. But yeah, hanging out in togs and eating snarlers off the barbecue.
Yeah, barbecue, yes.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. We're here anyway, and that is a bonus to us, I think, because we're going to have a little mini meeting, I suppose, while we catch up today and just talk about a few things about Alcoholics Anonymous. And as you folks know out there, our wonderful listeners, that this is a program that talks about the recovery of alcoholism. Now, anything you hear today, please, it's just our opinions. It's not that of AA as a whole. And I think we should start with the Serenity Prayer. Let's do it, shall we? You go for it. You go for it. I will be quiet. Okay. Weird.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Beautifully done. Thank you. And I am going to have a quick read of our preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is what it's all about. And could you please do the daily reflection for the 26th of December, aka Boxing Day?
Today's daily reflection is called Accepting Success or Failure. Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler, yet sometimes more durable satisfactions with the brighter, more glittering achievements, when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? That's from 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 112. After I found AA and stopped drinking, it took a while before I understood why the first step contained two parts: my powerlessness over alcohol and my life's unmanageability. In the same way, I believed for a long time that in order to be in tune with the 12 steps, it was enough for me to carry this message to alcoholics. That was rushing things. I was forgetting that there were a total of 12 steps, and that the 12th step also had more than one part. Eventually, I learned that it was necessary for me to practice these principles in all areas of my life. In working all the steps thoroughly, I not only stay sober and help someone else to achieve sobriety, but also I transform my difficulty with living into a joy of living.
Nicely read.
I've practiced all day.
Oh, did you? I had something better to do. But anyway, just kidding.
What, that barbecue? That
was, yeah. I tell you, there was sausages and lamb chops. I was feeling very rich today.
Nice.
Yeah, and of course the old tomato sauce. That reading, it's like some of you listeners may not realize, but our 12 steps go in line with the months of the year as well. So 12 being December and so forth is when we're sort of supposed to be getting to the end of the year and realizing, yeah, we do have a good life. And I was talking to somebody today about that fact of it, that I never thought when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that I would be sitting comfortably in my life, because I was never comfortable before coming into the rooms, and all the work that I have done on myself and in life in general since then has changed how I look at it, how I behave in it, how I see the world. I don't find myself complaining about things as much. You know, there's just, I look for the joy in my life, and it's wonderful. Mm. It is quite amazing. I liked that reading today. What about yourself?
I liked it too. Yeah, I liked it too. And I agree with you that, you know, one phrase that keeps coming up a lot in AA is living a life beyond your wildest dreams. And it sort of ties in with what you were just saying. And for quite a while, I sort of thought, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I would hear people say that in meetings and I think, oh, yeah. I don't know about that. Beyond my wildest dreams, really. But then just coincidentally, the last couple of weeks, I've been feeling that, you know, I've been feeling that I feel like I've gotten back to sort of who I was before I started drinking the way I used to drink. And I'm just seeing that life ahead of me is like, that in itself is a life beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I mean, I didn't think I'd ever be here with you, you know, and doing this and sober. And just magical, you know. I'm waffling a little bit, but
no, you're not waffling, but what's really interesting, listeners, is I'm looking at you and your face is actually quite serene. And you're actually weirdly looking younger today.
Oh,
what is going on?
It's my new face cream.
Is it your new face cream? God, it's only been one day since Christmas and you're recreating yourself.
I know.
That's wonderful. But yes, you do actually look more relaxed today.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good.
I'm really pleased. Do you think, I actually heard somebody else talk about how life beyond their wildest dreams was, you know, having the ute and the driveway, the boat, the holiday, all of these material things.
Yeah.
Do you think you're having that realization that the material things are not as important as the people and the experiences and what you're doing in your daily life?
Most definitely. I mean, the life beyond my wildest dreams, I think it's different for everyone, but for me, it has nothing to do with what I have. It has everything to do with what I have, but not
they're not
physical,
material things.
Mm. It has to do with the relationships that have come back and
blossomed
and are healthy now, and I'm healthy now. You know, it's just the way I look at life now is just a blessing. It's just a gift. You know, just to. I never looked at life as I didn't even want to be here, you know? I didn't even want to have anything to do with it. And now that I'm excited about the future, excited about my relationships, enjoying, appreciating my relationships, you know? Appreciating what I have and not taking it for granted and I don't know, it's magical. It's just really special. And but it has nothing to do with material possessions for sure.
Yeah, I like it. You used the word magical, and I agree with you completely. Things are magical. If you're doing the program, the way you're meant to be doing it.
You're listening to AA Live on ORFM Dunedin.
It's really fun to have you out there with us on this Boxing Day. And one of the things I'm aware of when it comes to Christmas holidays and Christmas Day, Boxing Day, is people out there feeling alone. And we don't want you to feel that. So you do be aware we're out there, we're here, we're grooving through life. And with the grooving through life, we've got some music for you today. Now, I have no idea what this is, but the Shins are going to play for us. And this song is called Kissing the Lipless. Now, I get taught something every time we do this show. This one is a new one for me. Enjoy.
Called to see if your back was still aligned and your sheets were growing grass all on the corners of your bed. But you got too much to wear on your sleeves. It has too much to do with me. And secretly I want to bury in the yard the gray remains of a friendship scar.
Now that was out there. I've learnt something. Thank you for that little piece. Now, later on in the show, we have got an interview for you to have a listen to. I caught up with one of our members, Kane, recently, and I'm going to play that interview for you. And one of the things that comes up is the fact Kane's a bit of a binge drinker, which I know is quite normal for New Zealanders. There's a pamphlet, that's the word I was looking for, frequently asked questions of AA. And one of the questions it has in there is, I can stay sober quite a while between binges. How can I tell whether I need Alcoholics Anonymous. And so the thing about AAs, which are us being in the fellowship, is that we'll talk about it's all about how you drink rather than how often. So that's more about how you determine whether or not you're an alcoholic. So many problem drinkers, they can go weeks, months, occasionally years between their bouts with liquor. And I am definitely one that went a few years. What about yourself? Are you?
No, I was a constant drinker.
Constant?
Yeah, constant. Every day.
So was I in the end. But I did have long periods of sobriety because I thought I was managing it.
Right. Well, I had sort of two periods of sobriety when I made an effort. And I think I mentioned in my when I first did my story on here that I had gone to AA twice before it quote unquote stuck, you know? And during those two times, but that was more like a month at the most.
Well, a month is still a period of time. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was something. But that was the exception to the rule, for sure.
Yeah, right. So, you know, with the binge drinking, you know, we go periods of sobriety. You might not give alcohol a complete second thought, right? And one of the things that we talk about with the binge side of things, you know, without the mental or emotional effort, you're able to take it or leave it alone, right? And they prefer to leave it alone. Then for some reason, something happens, or you're in a good mood, or you're at a great party or something like that, you'll pick up that first drink. And that is the start of getting back into that binge.
Yeah.
And Kane actually talks about that. You know, his experience was literally would have that first one and just binge like mad.
Yeah.
And things would change.
Right.
But, yeah, one of the things to recognise as a binge drinker, which, you know, really is a thing in our society, you know, you might neglect your job, your family, social responsibilities. And now this binge that you have, it might only last a single night, but the whole night is about fulfilling your need. You know, it's like we say, don't pick up that first drink because then you get the constant craving, you know. It might last one single night. It might go for several days, several weeks. And when it's over, you know, as the drinker, you're feeling remorseful. You're determined not to ever let it happen again.
Yeah.
But it does happen again, and it could be another month before it happens. So periodic drinking is what they call it. It's baffling. It's only to those people around the drinker and the person who's drinking. Like, it's like, why can't you just stop? And then you do have that period of stop. And then
Which makes you think you can.
And that makes you think, oh, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I can. Right. I'm safe. It's not a problem for me. But, you know, why, when you pick it up, do you just get, why does that happen? Why do you end up on a 3-day bender or a 2-day bender or a 24-hour bender? Or, you know, it's a confusing one to people because it's not an every day. I haven't needed it every day, that sort of things. But it's that fact that you have so little control over it once you start.
Yeah.
And that's the, what do they say here? They say the periodic drinker may or may not be an alcoholic. But if the drinking has become unmanageable and if the periods between your binges are getting shorter, chances are that the time has come to maybe just reassess yourself and have a look and think there may be a problem here.
Yeah.
And I know Christmas in the holiday season, I don't know about you, but for me, if I had a holiday, my holidays were planned around, oh, this is no work. I've got time. Yeah. I remember going on a holiday for a week to re-engage myself with being a human being because I was so worn out, right? But I took a case of wine for these 5 days, a couple of bottles of vodka.
Yeah.
some mixers, enough rolly cigarettes to get me through that 5 days because I was sort of removing myself from the world. And I remember finishing drinking in the evening, waking up, it's a holiday, starting again, middle of the day, I'd be dancing to music to myself. Now, I took enough, you would think that that would be enough for a few people. I ended up running out and having to get a water taxi back into the little town so I could get some more and get more tobacco so I could smoke some more while I was drinking some more. Now, that holiday was supposed to, you know, build myself back up again because it had been a really huge time at work. But I just actually, now when I look back at it, I go, I didn't mend opposite. Myself at all. I wrote myself off.
Yeah.
Literally, I did the complete opposite.
I have very similar experiences, you know?
Yeah.
I said, when I first answered and said, no, I didn't binge drink, and I'm pondering.
Yeah, it's not until
more,
you really ponder.
I think I did binge drink a lot more than I realized, but it was sort of, the difference was there was never the in-between no drinking time. It was like I would drink daily, but then I would have, you know, days of just straight drinking.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
You know, and so I think I was.
It's a mixture because you're craving and you think, well, you know, if you worked as hard as I did, you'd be allowed to have this.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that note, I'd love for you to listen to Kane's story. Have a listen to this.
Hello. I am luckily sitting here this evening with Kane. I've been out, I've bought pizzas, we're nibbling and we're chatting about sobriety. That's about it, isn't it? Pretty much. Right, Kane, I wanted to ask you, do you remember your first drink? Alcoholic drink, that is.
I figured it was alcohol. I don't know, there's sort of a variety, I guess. My first drink that was alcohol, just had an alcohol content in general, was my dad had a beer and I wanted to try it, so I begged him to, and it wasn't working. And then, like, later that day, I just happened to be choking on my dinner, and the only drink on the table was my dad's beer, so he gave it to me to stop me choking. There was that, but I've never really sort of counted that as my first. My first was, I was 18, and a group of us were going out to town that night, and it was my very first night with alcohol of any content, and I had 4 bottles of Smirnoff. The RTD is not 4 bottles of vodka.
Got ya.
Yeah. And I downed them within half an hour. Like, 4 bottles within half an hour. And then one of my mates had whiskey. And I remember taking a shot of whiskey, and the warmth that went through me was like, this is good. And it went round, and then it came back. So I took another one on the way back. And this was my very first night drinking. We're going into town. I was blacking out before we even made it to town.
Did that concern you? Did you notice that?
I thought it was great. I had no idea that that wasn't how it was meant to be. I thought it was. I was just having a good time, and I felt what I believe other people feel on a regular basis. Well, the alcohol disappeared just as quickly, and I blacked out all the same, just the volume was different. I went from, I think it was sort of 6 drinks all up for the night, maybe 7, to 2 bottles of Jaeger in under an hour. So it was the sheer volume of alcohol was significantly more by my last.
Can I ask you a question? When you've had, through your drinking history, did you ever end up in a hospital, comatosed?
I should have been, but surprisingly, no. There's been nights where my mates have slept in the same room as me, concerned I was going to die in my sleep. I had one morning I woke up and my bed was just covered in vomit. I'm surprised I didn't end up in hospital. On my very last night drinking, I think the only reason I didn't end up in hospital was because my mates were themselves too drunk and high to take me.
Did you get yourself into unsafe situations that you were aware of?
I believed every time I drank I was somewhere safe, because it was always at mates' houses or at my football team or at prize giving or that sort of environment. But I also am aware that there are significant portions of my night's drinking that I don't remember. There's a brief moment one night when I was drunk in town and I almost got beat up because I was trying to stop a guy hitting on one of my mates. And he threatened to beat me up quite a few times through that night. So there's probably a few instances where I wasn't safe. I just have no idea what the hell they were.
Tell me, do you count yourself as a happy drunk? Did you find that the drinking affected your ability to complete your studies?
I did find that near the end of my studies, I was prioritizing I had a birthday party coming up. Well, my birthday was at the end of the year, around where everything was due, and we had exams coming up that within that, like, 2 weeks of my birthday, and I was prioritizing my birthday and organizing drinks and making sure that I was gonna have a night where I could just get absolutely obliterated and just absolutely tank, so that way I was putting all my effort into that rather than the massive projects and stuff I had going on that were due, that were coming up, that I knew was coming up and I knew I hadn't done enough on, but I was still prioritizing the drink over it.
By the last one, were you still feeling that warmth when the alcohol went down, or like, what was happening to you?
There wasn't any of that. It was get it in me as fast as I can so that way I could stop thinking, I could stop feeling. It just became essentially a way to cope with being in a situation I didn't really want to be in.
So when we're thinking about where you are today, can you tell me how long have you been coming to Alcoholics Anonymous?
It's now about 8.5 months, and I'm 9.5 months sober.
That's brilliant. How do you feel today compared to your feelings about yourself when you had that last drink? Or drunk, as we...
On most days, I know I'm a lot better. I'm finding that the reason to keep going again, because most of the reason I drank was to forget. It was to essentially cope with life because I'm depressed and I couldn't see the point of living. And I'm starting to find that reason to keep going. I'm starting to find a point to it all, even if that point is just to help someone else once I've helped myself get to a certain point. And some days there's a lot that's just enough to get me through the day. I definitely know I'm in the right place being in AA.
And obviously you've had support to get through that. Do you have a sponsor? Do you utilize that person a lot in your life to get through?
Yeah, so I have a sponsor. We've been working the steps, which has been amazing. And when he's not sure of something, he goes to his sponsor, and we occasionally have the three of us sort of meet up sometimes and talk through some things if my sponsor's not sure. But otherwise, I talk to my sponsor. I see him at meetings twice a week, and I call him at least once between those meetings, so all up at least four times a week.
And that, when you first started in Alcoholics Anonymous, did you find that to be an uncomfortable situation that you had to get a sponsor? And is it something now that you think, oh, I'm so incredibly grateful for?
Before I came to AA, I'd watched the TV show Mom. So that had like a, this is the AA theme, and it had like a general idea. So I sort of had like a, I wonder how close to the TV show this is going to be.
Right.
Do we get sponsors? Is that a legitimate thing? So I kind of had this vague sense that I would have one. And then when I finally asked someone to be my sponsor, they turned to me and they go, call me every day. And I was like, I don't have anything to say every day. and it freaked me out. And I was like, oh, no. And I was stressing. But I called him every day. And it got me in the habit of calling him. So that way when my head goes all funky, I can just call him and be like, hey, this is what's going on. Because calling him's a natural instinct anyway.
Right. See, for yourself, when you think of a higher power, do you find, I suppose, that that's given you strength?
I'm still learning to sort of lean into that higher power thing. And my sponsor's big on the phrase, don't go searching for it, it'll find you.
Correct.
And he's also a huge fan of go to move mountains, you just have to bring the shovel.
Alcohol at the beginning makes us think, you know, we're invincible and it will remove all our issues. By the end of your drinking, did you still think that that was what it could do for you?
I still thought it could. It gave me a temporary relief. It was like, I suppose, cough medicine during a cold. Like, it's not going to get, like, long-term fix me. But for right now, I'll feel so much better because my head's a mess.
And so when you were having your blackouts and, you know, the alcohol was actually shutting down a portion of your brain, you still thought to yourself, this is great?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was amazing. I thought it was fantastic. Like, one of the highlights of... I wasn't a daily drinker. I was a sort of month...
Ooh, a binge?
Month binger.
Yeah, right.
Monthly binger. And I'd push off any emotional stuff that had happened or stress or anything I didn't want to deal with in the moment. I pushed it right off and then I drank over it and could forget it all and I could become this person that I felt fitted in and wanted to and was appreciated by other people in the room and could be what I thought to be a new normal human being.
And so once you sobered up, how did you deal with those issues? Because they didn't disappear.
Oh, they didn't disappear. They got significantly worse very quickly.
Because you're in your first year. What do you think? It gets easier? Or what's your description?
One of the sayings I heard when I first got into the room was, it gets better, it just gets different first. Which I like that because it does. And then I told a newcomer that as well recently. And then they said to me, yeah, I'm ready to get comfortably uncomfortable. And I was like, oh, that also sums up, eh? Like, that's brilliant. And it's also one of those things, it gets worse before it gets better. Like, when you break a bone, or not even break a bone, but when you end up with a bruise, it turns this ugly dark purple within the next few days, and it gets darker and darker, and then it turns yellow and starts healing again. And it's like, oh. Like, it gets significantly worse before it gets better, but it does get better in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the proof of that is in the rooms. Like, the people in there are happy, smiley. Many times while I was drinking, I just wanted to move, change my name, start again. And I mentioned that to a few people, and they're like, well, the problems are just going to follow you. And I was like, no, they won't. My problems are here with other people. If I move, the problems stay, because I'm not there. No, I did sort of discover that when I moved from where I grew up to here. And my problems just
moved with you.
With me. So I thought that there was just something wrong here too, and I was going to try again. Part of me thinks that because I walked into the room so young, that I don't have a place here yet. I haven't earned it probably because I haven't sunk as far as some of the people in here have. I haven't lost my job. I keep saying I haven't lost my family, but I have, but that's for unrelated alcohol. Like, that's for reasons unrelated to alcohol.
But it's also one of the reasons why you drink. So they are all combined at the time. Yeah.
I suppose, in that regard, yes. But I didn't lose them because of the alcohol.
No.
I drank to get over the fact I lost them, kind of thing.
Yep. No, I understand that.
Yeah. I'm sure other people will as well, but
that's... Yeah, you've earned your stripes. What more do you think you should be doing?
I sort of have like a... I won't call it like an anti-bucket list. Like, if I were to relapse, these were all the things I want to accomplish before I walk back into the rooms to make sure I've earned that spot.
Now, if you were seeing a friend of yours with the same, or an issue with drinking, what would you say anything to them? Would you just let them be? Did you ever wish that somebody had said something to you?
I did have someone say something to me, right, and it drove me up the wall.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it. They were pestering me all the time, and none of my excuses, none of my reasons were good enough of why I drank so much.
And so for you, it's really important that you came in here on your own bat?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, if I didn't come in for myself, then I probably wouldn't have come in, or if I did come in, I wouldn't have stayed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you would have been coming in to do it for someone else.
Yeah, and that commitment only lasts as long as the person holds you to it.
I find that is something all of us have had experience with, and unless you walk in yourself, it's...
I've heard it in the rooms as well, similar things, like, oh, I did it for my wife, and then my wife, you know, stopped, not caring, but stopped asking, and things were turning okay again, so I just stopped going. Mm. Then it got worse. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thanks for asking me.
It's a pretty fascinating story, isn't it? Right, I am going to put on some music and get your feet tapping to some Dave Matthews Band. This is a good one. Enjoy.
Fingers counting, we have each 9 planets round the sun repeat. 8 ball will last if you triumphant be. 7 oceans pummel the shores of the sea. It's a typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices, hey, yeah. It's a typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices. Everybody's happy, everybody's free. Keep the big door open, everyone will come around. Why are you different? Why are you that way? If you don't get in line, we'll lock you away. Down to nothing. 6 senses feeling fire around a sense of sound. 4 seasons turn on and turn on. I can see 3 corners from this corner. 2's a perfect number, but 1 round. Everybody's happy, everybody's free. We'll keep the main door open, everyone will come around. Why are you different? Why are you that way? If you don't get in line, we'll lock you away. Everybody's happy, everybody's free. We'll keep the main door open, everyone will come around. Why are you different? Why are you that way? If you don't get in line, we'll lock you away. It all comes down to nothing. It's a typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices, yeah. It's a typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices. We can do anything about it. Too many choices, yeah. It's a typical situation. typical situation in these typical times. Too many choices. Everybody's happy, everybody's free. We'll keep the window open, everyone will come around. Where are you different? Why are you that way? Situation in these typical times, too many choices. We can't do anything more. Too many choices. It's a typical situation in these typical times, too many choices.
Oh, that was a terrible stop. I didn't do that well, did I?
You're not a DJ. What's going on?
I never claimed to be a DJ. In fact, I always gave that to other people to do, I have to tell you. I was not good at that. Right, getting on with life. This is where we're at. Now, I was going to bring up something, but I've completely wiped it out of my brain because, well, it's Boxing Day and it's getting to the end of the day and I'm not very good, but I do want to thank all you listeners out there. Look, let you know you're not on your own. We're here. We're thinking of you. It's never, sometimes it's fun this time of year, especially if you've got a good amount of sobriety under you. Others who are out there struggling, we are thinking of you. Call that 0800 line. That's what I could say to you. Even if you're questioning, have I got an issue with alcohol? Got issues, pro. Call the 0800 works. It's 0800 229 6757. Now, I know lots of I didn't call them. Did you call them?
No, I just went to a meeting.
Yeah, I was the same. Yeah. It's not so scary. So if you're feeling a little bit out of sorts and wondering, go for it. I do not have all of that other blah, blah stuff that I normally rattle off at the end of a show with me today because it's Boxing Day and I left it all in the back of the car. But if you need some information, folks, jump on to aa.org.nz. Mm. Now, you will find meetings around the country. You will find things that will help support you. You can find those meetings online or in person. We can't recommend it enough. There's no membership fee. It's just a matter of coming in and sitting in a meeting. And I tell you what, people have come in and gone out again and said, no, I don't think it's for me. I'm not an alcoholic. Some people have come in and said, yeah, that is me. I can hear the similarities. Mm. There's no prerequisite. You don't have to sign anything. Just come and join us for a coffee or a cuppa.
And the hardest thing is just stepping into that room, you know?
Yes.
Once you do that, you're there.
Yeah, that can certainly be true. We have enjoyed being here with you this evening. Thank you so much. We are going to finish with a little bit of Elton, and we were just discussing how that was my first concert that I ever went to, and how my parents missed half of the concert because they were so worried about the car parking and that we'd get stuck in traffic.
We've brought up a bunch of unresolved issues.
Yes, I've discovered a new resentment that I've got to go and work on tonight. So enjoy some Elton John with Island Girl.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.